Hey there, welcome to the Creative Classroom Podcast. I'm your host, John Spencer. I'm a former middle school teacher. I am a current college professor, and I am passionate about seeing teachers transform their classrooms into bastions of creativity and wonder. So that's what we talk about on this podcast. I share ideas and strategies and blueprints. I tell stories. I share some of the mistakes I've made along the way, all because I know that ultimately teachers are the most critical aspect to empowering students with voice and choice. Today we're going to be talking about this idea of genius hour, and it's the type of thing that you may not want to pilot because you're in a distance learning environment and it might seem too difficult or too much, and that's totally fine if this is not for you, but it may actually be the very thing that could work in your classroom if your students seem frustrated or bored or anxious. I actually think it could be a great way to empower them. So I want to talk about what it might look like to do this. I'm going to start with a personal story. Earlier this year, my daughter's dance studio had this dance from Sufjan Stevens' Love Yourself, and it nearly moved me to tears. It was subtle, albeit powerful, and it was a message on gender dynamics and body positivity and mental health. And the whole thing was just beautiful. Now, I used to consider dance to be shallow. I just didn't get it. But I also didn't try to get it. It's way easier to mock what you don't understand than to step into that space and say, I don't understand this, but I want you to help me understand. I used to consider fashion to be shallow. It's just clothing, right? But then I had a group choose to write a fashion blog for their Genius Hour project, and it blew me away. One student wrote about the politics of hair as an African-American girl. I had honestly never really thought much about that. Another girl wrote about how her mom faced gender discrimination in Syria, where she was forced to wear a burqa only to come to the U.S. and be spat on when she was in the bus because she had a hijab, and someone told her she was dressed like a terrorist. I never thought about clothing the same way again. Those students showed me that it's not shallow. Video games, sports, fashion, dance, these things might not seem deep to certain people on the surface, but there's almost always more underneath the surface. Nothing is shallow. Instead, shallow is simply a shallow understanding of an idea or a topic or a discipline. I mean, right now, in our family, we binge-watched all 3 seasons of this show called Skin Wars. Now, if you had told me body painting would be deep, I wouldn't have believed you. But watching this competition, seeing the thought and intentionality that went into something like body painting proved to me again that there is no such thing as shallow, just a shallow understanding. And this is why I love Genius Hour. It reminds me again and again that there is no such thing as a shallow topic. With Genius Hours, students build on their strengths and their prior knowledge so that they can go deeper. And often, these things that seem like a waste of time become the hidden knowledge and skills and ideas that make us more innovative as adults. I'm going to give a small example of that. One of the most frequent questions I get when I do a workshop or a keynote is, how do you create sketch animation videos? If you check out my channel, it's spencervideos.com, you'll see I love making these sketch videos. And I find this fascinating because I spent a few years feeling like my videos were a waste of time. For me, these goofy little sketch videos have always been something that I do purely for fun, as a way to process information and think through concepts. But it's not only that. I grew up feeling guilty about my incessant doodling. A few teachers warned me about being off task. I would doodle in the margins of my notebooks and asking the question, is there something wrong with me? I wondered if maybe I had ADD because of my inability to sit through direct instruction and simply listen with my hands folded and my eyes on the teacher. I had to sketch. It's how I made sense out of my world. As a college student, I would wonder if I should be taking real notes and not Cornell note style instead of scribbling my ideas in pictures and symbols. And when I became a teacher, I would sketch note ideas during professional development and feel like a real teacher would be taking legitimate notes. I would sit down late at night working on an animating a video and then feel guilty about not doing something more productive. But now, my sketches are a part of how I express myself. I use them in blog posts and in videos and books and presentations. They become a key part of how I share ideas when I teach. I actually have converted some of these sketch videos into t-shirts and sweatshirts and stuff. And when I taught middle school, I regularly sketched out ideas on the whiteboard. I still do when I teach college. In other words, the very activity that I felt like was a waste of time for me has become one of the most practical elements of my work. My good friend AJ Giuliani uses the term scratch your itch to describe this seemingly serendipitous way that passion projects go from a waste of time to a unique learning opportunity. And although it seems small, this is actually the case all the time. Some of the greatest inventions and innovations happened when people chased their curiosity in areas that seemed, well, at first glance, to be a waste of time. Darwin studied geology, but rocked the world with his theory of evolutionary biology. And yes, I did just use a geology pun. I'm a dad. You're gonna get dad jokes from me. Kahneman and Tversky spent years geeking out on the way people make decisions, but their research completely changed the way we view economics. And this is, again, why I love Genius Hour. It's a chance to pursue those different ideas. And I want to point out that if you're not familiar with Genius Hour, it's the idea that people will spend 20% of their time working on passion projects. If you know the history of Genius Hour, it was used in Google. It was their 20% time. 3M actually used it back in the 60s and I think maybe the 50s as well. And so there's a rich history of companies giving people one day out of a week to do Genius Hour projects. Here at our house, we have a daily schedule during this distance learning time. And part of the daily schedule is that they have a Genius Hour time. So again, it's a part of how we do things here at our house as well. So I want to talk about seven reasons to pilot Genius Hour. So number one, it increases student ownership and buy-in. I've mentioned this spectrum a lot, this continuum from compliance to engagement to empowerment, and that's how we view student agency. But I think it's important to recognize that Genius Hour is fully self-directed. They are owning this entire process of learning, from asking questions to planning to researching to creating to figuring out what resources they're going to use. And that really helps lead toward being self-directed learners. And we know that one of the biggest challenges that teachers are facing right now in distance learning classes has been students being disengaged, but it's not just that they're disengaged, it's that they are not self-directed, right? They're not checking their assignments, they're not looking things up, they're being kind of helpless in a lot of ways. And I think that a good Genius Hour project can actually help students become more self-directed. All right, number two, Genius Hour helps students develop into lifelong learners. And I think this is really important. We know that people are forced to read books when they're young, but most adults haven't read books after college. I mean, that's a concern, right? But the ones who have will often point to a class or a teacher who helped them fall in love with reading. And I think the same thing is true here. We want our students to be those lifelong learners, but that doesn't always happen. And often distance learning means taking school and moving it into the realm of home. But what we're talking about here is sort of a show and tell approach. We're talking about having students take something from home that they know and that they love, their passions and their interests, their questions, and then bring those into that space of the distance learning and therefore have that experience of bringing it in almost like show and tell. And I think that helps develop into lifelong learning. Number three, Genius Hour teaches students the soft skills needed for a complex world. This is where they're going to learn how to persevere. This is where they're going to learn how to collaborate if it's a partner or group Genius Hour project. This is where they learn what it means to fail forward when they hit frustration. This is how they engage in self-assessment, peer assessment. This is how they learn how to communicate with others. And if it's a really well-designed Genius Hour project, this might very well be where they learn empathy, which I think our world really needs right now. So there's a lot of amazing soft skills that they can be developing. And at a time where we for the most part, don't have standardized tests, where there's not as many of the big policies pushing accountability, this is a chance for you to test out Genius Hour and see, are they gaining those soft skills that I want them to gain? Number four, Genius Hour teaches students to master the content in an authentic way. And so this is where they get to see, you know, what does language arts and science and math and social studies look like in an integrated, connected way? And I love this. As they work on these Genius Hour projects, they get to see, you know, how the discipline they're studying actually exists and works in their world. For a language arts class, if they did a Wonder Week project or a Geek Out blog, they'll get to master the standards, yes, but they get to see how those standards connect to those passions and interests they have as they do blogs about fashion or Minecraft or skateboarding or whatever. If it's, they're learning a new language and they get to see how that exists and happens in their own world. So there's a lot of different ways to do this and to think about this. And again, as they work on these Genius Hour projects, they get to see how learning and how the different disciplines exist in their actual world. Number five, Genius Hour makes differentiated learning a reality. So it is hard to create true differentiated instruction, mostly because students don't finish things at the same time, right? Some kids finish early, some kids finish late. We all see this and experience this ourselves. But now we're in this distance learning environment where time is less of an issue. Some students are going to finish early. Some are going to finish on time. Some are going to, and in a normal assignment, that might mean that you have some kids working for 2 hours, some kids working for 9 hours on something. But with this, you get to have flexibility. You can say, research as much as you need to, and you set parameters. Maybe you look at 4 sources, but maybe you look at 50, and that's okay. And what you do is you're able to embed that differentiation into it by giving students a ton of flexibility in what they are doing. I mentioned before that there's a Wonder Day project that you could do, and that's sort of a great first Genius Hour type project that you can do. And in that, there's students set the parameters for what they're researching, what they're doing, what questions they're asking. And again, that's building differentiation into it. If you didn't listen to last week's podcast, I would say go check that out and listen to it, and you'll see that you'll see what I'm talking about in terms of how it can build differentiation into it. Number six, Genius Hour helps students make connections between content areas. I think this is really important that students see how social studies connects to language arts, how math connects to science, but also how math connects to social studies. When they engage in these Genius Hour projects, there's often really critical interdisciplinary connections that happens. And I love that in the midst of this, what they're doing is that they see that all of these subject areas are connected to each other. That yes, there is such thing as different disciplines, but the reality is life is much more interconnected. Number seven, Genius Hour creates a culture of joy. I love watching the TV show Making It. It's one of my favorite reality TV shows. You can judge me for liking reality shows, but here we go. I love things like The Great British Bake Off. And what I love about it is just the way that when people engage in creative work that they love, there's this sheer joy and exuberance in what they're doing. And I think at a time where students are feeling lonely, they're feeling isolated, it's really powerful to create a space and place of joy. I know I mentioned that there's this warm-up that I use with my students where I said, you know, what is one item that represents a healthy coping strategy for you during social isolation. And what's interesting is that almost all of them chose something creative. And it was just a testament to the joy that comes from making things. And I think it's also that we recognize and we understand that there's more to making things than just getting a better job, right? We talk about creativity and collaboration and these soft skills because they'll help kids make better jobs. But the reality is, I think there's this social-emotional learning component to it, that when kids have the opportunity to make something, it may seem like an escape to adults, but it's actually an escape to something rather than away from something. It's bringing them back to themselves. It's allowing them to gain confidence. It's giving them a sense of control over something in their environment. And I think right now, during this time of distance learning and quarantine and social isolation, it's just really critical that students get that opportunity to make something meaningful to them. All right, so this sounds good. These are seven reasons. But how do we actually make this a reality in a distance learning environment? Well, here are a few thoughts. My first thought is to set up criteria for Genius Hour. For example, you might tell students that the Genius Hour projects have to involve learning something new and creating something. These parameters will help clarify that this is not the same thing as binge watching a show on Netflix. You are actually going to be learning and making rather than just watching and consuming. Number two, use specific structures. You might use the launch process and design thinking and have students walk through different phases. You might use something like inquiry-based learning and ask students to ask questions, engage in research, develop plans. You get the idea. If it's too open though, students can feel lost. That's the value of structure. It doesn't make it less authentic. In fact, every person I know who is a designer, a maker, a creative type of any sort uses structures on their own. But it's important that the structure can also be loose enough that students feel the freedom to explore and create. My next idea is to keep in contact with students. Try a simple Google form that's a checkup with questions like, how is your project going? Or what did you do today? And you can have students answer questions on a Likert scale or checkboxes. But I think, this survey should be really simple. I mean, 2 to 3 questions, they answer it, and it gives them that pulse check. Another thought is to do a once a week virtual meeting where students share their progress. Now, this works really well in small groups. I love using the mastermind structure or the 20-minute peer feedback, but it's the idea that you create positive social pressure for them. Number five, the fifth big idea here is to have students share their process. They can do a blog, an audio diary, a video diary of what they're doing. But the idea is that they're sharing what they're doing, the progress that they're making, the goals they're setting, the mistakes they've made, and what they're learning. And it's them documenting the process or the journey. And the final idea is to have a showcase at the end where students share their work and their learning journey. This showcase could be synchronous, it could be asynchronous, it's totally up to you. Again, this is something that you can do with younger grades, it's something you can do with older grades, it's gonna look different depending on where you're at and your environment and context. But I really think that Genius Hour might be something you wanna just try out. And if you're not sure where to start simple with something like a Wonder Day project and just see how they do for a day or 2 days. How do they handle the choice? And from there, you can launch into a bigger Genius Hour project. Hey, thank you so much for listening to this podcast. Would you do me a favor? If you enjoy it, would you leave a review on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or wherever you get your podcast? Again, thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful day. And go out and make something awesome.